Hey guys, I'm Caitlin Pooley. I want to thank you so much for joining us today for Upper Room Church. We are so grateful for the gift of technology and the ability to still join together in worship. If today's message ministers to you, we would love for you to comment on it, like it, and even share it with a friend. We have even more opportunities to love on those around us during this time. If you would like to partner with us, all you have to do is go to upperroompensacola.com today, where you can give a financial donation. You can also text the word give and the amount to the number 84321. Today, Pastor Nathan will continue our study through Psalm 23. I want to invite you to worship with us and allow God to speak to your heart. We love you so much and we're praying for you.
Hey, Upper Room family, it's so good to see you. I hope that you're having an awesome day. And I just want to jump right into where we left off last week. We started a brand new series called God's Psychiatry. We're studying through Psalm 23. It's one of the most famous few verses of Scripture, and it's so powerful because not only is it just God's word to us, it's as we read it, in many ways we experience it. As we read about green pastures and still waters, our soul is restored, our lives are restored. And last week, we started off with verse 1, and this week, we'll be right off to the next verse, verse 2, and I want to read it together. And so if you have your family with you or you're watching with some other folks, let's gather around and we'll read this psalm together. It's only six verses, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so verse 2 is directly connected to verse 1. And last week, we talked about one key principle when it comes to God, that God is our shepherd. And a shepherd does a few things. A shepherd guides, a shepherd provides, and a shepherd protects. And so because of that, the benefits of having a shepherd, we enter into verse 2. And what I love about this psalm is the illustration that David is giving, that God is our shepherd and we belong to Him. And so there's a few really awesome things that between the dynamic of a sheep and his shepherd or her shepherd. What's amazing about that is when it comes to sheep, I don't know a whole lot about sheep, so I had to do some research, but sheep are completely dependent upon a shepherd. They really can't do nothing for themselves. And so because of that, there's not a lot of worry involved in their lives. They go to the shepherd for food. They go to the shepherd for rest. They look to their shepherd for protection. And sheep are relatively, they have poor eyesight. They're stubborn. And so when it comes to sheep, they're 100% dependent upon their shepherd. They're one of the only animals, if you were to take and drop a sheep off in the middle of the woods or anywhere outside of their domain that they're used to, they wouldn't be able to survive. They can't find water on their own. They can't find food on their own. And so as David is describing this relationship, he's showing how even in our lives spiritually, we're dependent upon our shepherd to lead us into the green grass, to lead us beside still waters. And so David is, I think in verse 2, he unpacks four key principles, four things that he needed in his life that only he could receive from the shepherd. And so I want to go through those with you, and I'm just going to read the verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So this verse is all about sheep and sleep. It's all about sheep and how they would find pasture and how they would find what they needed. And the first thing we see in this verse is that David needed it, and we need it as well, is that we need rest. David's describing this beautiful green pasture and still waters. And if there's anything that those produce in our lives, it's relaxation. It's why people spend thousands of dollars to retreat to Green Mountains and to the beautiful beaches of the Gulf of Mexico, because everybody wants to be near green pastures and still waters. And there's just something that comes with being near those things, like a calmness that God gives us. And so what David is really talking about here is sheep need sleep. We need sleep. We need rest. So how are you sleeping these days? How much sleep are you getting? The CDC, they've been studying the average sleep that an American gets, and in 1910, the average person got about 9 hours of sleep. The last study that they did, it showed that one out of three Americans don't even get 7 hours of sleep anymore. And so they've connected lack of sleep to anxiety and sickness and all kinds of stress that comes when we aren't sleeping well. And so there's times where I have a challenge to sleep well. It's hard for me to fall asleep, and it could just be from the caffeine. It could be from the screens. I don't know what all, but there's a few things that I want to give you. There's a TED Talk by a guy named Matt Walker, and the title of it is Sleep is Your Superpower. So this guy has been studying sleep and sleep habits most of his life, and in this TED Talk, it's incredible that the biggest study that's performed on sleep is twice a year, where 1.6 billion people across 70 countries are experimented with, and it's called daylight savings time. And the statistics that they found from daylight savings times is that the day after, when you lose an hour, there's a 24% increase in heart attacks the next day. 24% increase. And so it's the opposite is true. When we get more time, when we gain an hour, there's a 21% reduction. Not only that, they see a decrease in car crashes, a decrease in health problems, mental health. And so this guy has devoted his life to showing how valuable sleep is. And now they're linking sleep to the lack of sleep to additional stress, even to cancer, to where the World Health Organization has classified anybody that works a nighttime shift, if you work overnights, it's a carcinogen. And so that's how serious that lack of sleep is, that how much it hurts our bodies. And so when we're going through trials and we're going through times of uncertainty, it's hard to find sleep. I know it is for me. And so I don't want to ruin the TED Talk for you, but the two things that he gives on how do we tap into the sleep that God wants us to have, because he calls it a superpower. Two things. He said one is go to sleep at the same time every night and wake up at the same time every morning. I know that can be hard for a lot of people, but the second thing I thought was really cool was dropping the temperature. And so before artificial environments, before air conditioning and heaters and all that stuff, as the earth began to cool, people went to sleep. When the sun went down, things got cooler, people fell asleep. And so it's the same now, but we've got all these artificial environments controlling the temperature. But that was the two things he gave. And so I know this is super practical, but what does sleep have to do with my spiritual life? Well, Psalm 127, verse 2, it says that sleep is a gift from God. And just, you know, you can pay for a lot of things in this life, and you can buy a lot of stuff, but you can't buy rest, and you can't buy sleep. And that's what God wants to give us. I believe that's God's way of restoring our soul, which comes in the next verse. Because when we're resting, this is what I found in my life. When I'm really resting, God is working. He implemented this in the creation story, that God worked 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. I don't think he needed a vacation. I don't think he needed to take the time off. But he was wanting to model that for us, because it's a part of the rhythm of life, that when we get the sleep that we need, when we get the rest that we need, it restores us. It restores our soul. What's neat about Jewish custom is the way that they tell time. For them, the sunset is the beginning of a brand new day. And I think the principle of resting and of Sabbath, and it's kind of the opposite of the way that we look at it in today's culture. We work hard so that we can vacation. We work hard so that we can stack up those vacation coupons. But it's the opposite with the Sabbath. We rest hard, and we work from that rest. And so it's something that God gives us so that we can be restored. And that's what David's saying, green grass, blue water. It's rest, it's relaxation. It's a gift from God. God wants you to be able to rest. Maybe you've been up several nights this week, or maybe it's hard for you to fall asleep. There's so much going on in the world right now. There's urgent news all the time. There's all these things. It seems like the sky has fallen every other day. So much bad news in the world. Well, try this. Instead of counting sheep tonight, read this psalm. Before you go to bed, don't get on your phone. You know, don't check social media. Don't read the news. Get in God's word. Meditate on it. Read this psalm. Picture green grass. Picture still water. And watch how God gives you the rest that you need. And then the second thing that comes with this that we see in this psalm that David needed and we need as well is we need replenishment. We got to be refilled. Green pastures and blue waters. Now, for us, that doesn't sound like much, but for a sheep, that's food, that's nourishment. I thought about it, it seems like, you know, how cool would it be to have your bed made out of food, right? You could just like wake right up and start eating what you're like, if it's a marshmallow or something, I don't know. But for a sheep, they get to experience that every day. They lay down and they sleep on the thing that they eat. And green grass, I know it doesn't seem very desirable to us, but for a sheep, that's exactly what they needed to be renourished. It's exactly what they needed to eat. And I've always heard it said, even since I was a kid, that you are what you eat. And so this principle is true, I think, not only in our spiritual life, but in our physical life. So for a sheep, green grass was nourishment, and they had all this like complex digestive system and how they got what they needed from the grass. But in our own lives, our food is our fuel. And I'll just be, you know, confess to you, I've had a hard time with this quarantining and staying at home a lot because I find myself snacking like all the time. Like I'm the kind of person, the Lord doesn't wake me up in the middle of the night to pray. I wake up and eat like a whole line of Oreos, you know what I'm saying? Like I get in the cabinets, I just open the fridge and just stare at it. You know, I just do that all the time. It's just something I struggle with. But I have to tell myself, am I bored or am I hungry? Am I bored or am I hungry? And our food is our fuel. In our physical life, our food is our fuel. There's a connection between how we function and what we're putting in our bodies. And I think we all know that. But the spiritual application here is spiritually, we have to be nourished. That when it comes to feeding our soul, our body will tell us when we're hungry, right? Our body will tell us when we're tired, but our soul really doesn't have an indicator. Our soul can be running low. Our soul can be hungry. Our soul can be tired. Our soul can be thirsty, just like our bodies, but it's not as loud as our body. And so the shepherd is showing us, and David is telling us that our soul, we need nourishment. And the way that we nourish our soul is this book right here. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. It says that your words, when they came, I ate them. They were joy to me, my heart's delight, for I bear your name, God Almighty. Jesus, Matthew 4, he was being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, and there were several things that he was being tempted by, and he made this statement that man can't live on bread alone, right? That we need more than just physical food, but we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And I believe during this time right now that God wants to speak to you. That during this time where maybe you may find yourself, you've got a little more free time, you're at home a little more, I believe it's in these seasons of life that God wants to really speak to us. And so we need food and we need water to survive. Physically, it's the same way spiritually. God's word is food, but Jesus talked about something, he called it living water in John 7. He said, you know, it's talking to the woman at the well, he says, you know, I can give you water if you ask of me and you'll never thirst again. Now, he wasn't talking about physical water, but he was talking about spiritual water. He's talking about something that can only come through the Spirit of God. And I've noticed in my life a lot of times, I'll try to fill a need in a wrong way. Or like if I'm thirsty, instead of drinking water, I'll drink Mountain Dew. Right? I love Mountain Dew. Right? And I know what I need is water. My body needs water, but I can drink a lot of soda and it's just going to never really satisfy. And I think in life at times we can do that. We have needs in our life and we try to fill them in other ways, but there's really only one source that can quench the thirst that we really have in our soul. In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, he talked about this. He said, you know, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that really can't satisfy. And he's saying sometimes, you know, we go to the wrong well, we go to the wrong place for nourishment. And the thing about sheep, the reason why David says he leads me beside still waters is because sheep have a tendency to drink from water that's toxic. They got to be led to clean water. They got to be led to pure water. That's part of the shepherd's main role, is to make sure his sheep have what they need. And I'm thankful for a God who not only does he lead us to those sources, but he is that source. And he wants to satisfy those desires inside of us. He wants to refill our soul. He wants to refill your soul. And so we need this rest. We need replenishment. And the third thing that we see in this psalm is, when it comes to God, what I love about him is he sees your life where you are right now. He sees your history, but he also sees where you're heading. And one thing that my wife and I, we've always done, we've been married almost 11 years now. And about year five, we took a trip to the Keys. And so it's about a 10-hour drive from where we live. And it's about a week to get ready for it. You know, I take the car to the mechanic shop. I get the oil changed. You know, I get the tires rotated, and it takes a while to get the car packed. And so, if you were to see me at the Tom Thumb or at the convenience store on the way to Key West, you'd see fishing poles hanging out the window, a cooler full of ice, and you know, all this stuff packed in this car. And you would know that it took me a while to prepare the car because I'm going somewhere. And when it comes to God and when it comes to our lives, we need routine maintenance. Because not only does God see our current needs, he sees our coming needs. And so he prepares us. He leads us into green grass. He leads us into still waters because he's preparing us. He causes kind of a shutdown in our world, and we're at home and we feel like maybe we're stuck there and we've got all this time on our hands and our routine is now all flipped around, and what I used to do on Monday through Friday, I don't do anymore. He does that on purpose because he's preparing us. And so we've seen a forced shutdown really in our country, but I don't want you to see it as a forced shutdown. See it as a forced sabbatical. That God is allowing for you to have more time on your schedule right now because he wants to prepare you for what is next. There's a few things that can really happen in our lives when, you know, we can allow this time and we can use this time for God to speak to us and to prepare us for what is next, or we can kind of complain through this time and not get out of it what God really wants us to get out of it. And I wanted to give you a few examples of some people that did some amazing things in quarantine. Shakespeare wrote some of his greatest works in quarantine. Isaac Newton, believe it or not, developed calculus, discovered gravity while he was quarantined into his own home. Paul wrote a third of the New Testament while he was under quarantine. And so when we go through these types of seasons, and maybe you're just trying to ask and wonder why God has done this, and why do I have, you know, my whole schedule's been flipped upside down, I've lost my job, I can't go to school, what is God doing? It feels like we're all in a crisis right now. But the thing about a crisis is this: it doesn't make us, it reveals us. It's in these moments where we have solitude, it's in these moments of downtime. It's like if you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. You squeeze an apple, you get apple juice, right? Don't look at this as a shutdown. Look at this as a Sabbath, that God is going to do his best work in you during this time. And so a crisis doesn't have to make us. It just reveals what God maybe has placed inside of us already. And so I've asked all these questions. I've talked with people this week that are asking why. Why did I lose my job? Why is this happening? Why is God allowing this to go on in our world? And so I wanted to challenge you, because I've had to do this in my own life. Instead of asking why, ask what. Not why did I lose my job, but okay, God, what are you freeing up my calendar and time to be able to learn? Not why can't I finish school this semester, but God, what are you preparing me for? What are you preparing my business for? What are you preparing my family for? Because it's in these seasons of routine maintenance, when God changes the schedule around, where he does his best work in our heart and in our life. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what all God does through you and your family in this time, because it's in these moments of Sabbath, these moments where we rest and we're still, where God really speaks. A friend of mine, he's a mentor. I look to him as my pastor, and I meet with him about once a month. And he asks me the same question almost every time we're together. We sit down, and he asks hard questions. But the one thing he always asks me is, Nathan, are you practicing Sabbath? And for a long time, I didn't understand that. I didn't know what he meant. I would always answer, yeah, I'm going to church. I got to be there. I kind of have to have a job, I work there, Or I tell him, yeah, I try to find some time to rest. But really, how would you answer that question? When was the last time you took a full day off? When was the last time you turned your phone off? You got away from it. You just took some time apart. Some of the best advice I've ever heard is, if we don't come apart for a while, we'll come apart in a while. And the key to this verse is in the first two words. This isn't a suggestion. David said, he makes. And when you look at the life of a sheep and you study their habits, sheep are really stubborn. Sheep don't like to sleep. They're kind of like my three-year-old. I got to wrestle this kid every night. As soon as it's time to go to bed, he needs to go outside. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He wants to watch one more movie. He's literally finding everything he can. There's some nights it takes me and my wife to get him upstairs, get him into bed. And it was so bad at one point, we were kind of holding him in bed. I mean, we thought about tranquilizers, I don't know if that's child abuse or not, or melatonin for kids, but he hated sleep. Didn't want to rest. Didn't want to be still. And I think sometimes that we are the same way, that the fourth key to this verse is that we need a reminder. We can get so busy and we can get so caught up in our day-to-day life that we lose time for rest, for Sabbath. And the reality is, Sabbath is one of the most important principles. And I want to explain to you what Sabbath is not. Sabbath is not going to church. We can't do that right now. We can't gather in a building. Sabbath is not, I was taught that on the Sabbath you couldn't do anything fun, so you could just go to church, eat, and sleep on Sabbath. And I don't think that's what Sabbath really is. Sabbath means to cease and desist. Whatever you do Monday through Friday, whatever your job is, whatever that you spend your time doing, there's got to be a time in your calendar where you're not doing that. And so Sabbath is not meant to add more on you. Sabbath is really meant to get our attention. We stop what we normally do and we rest. And I think that could be what's happening in our world right now. That God wants to speak to his people. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. And before that happens, he knows we got to rest. Because the thing about a shepherd is, a shepherd can prepare an environment. He can lead his sheep to still water and to green grass, but he can't make him sleep. And right now, we all have an opportunity. You may find that you got more time on your hands right now. And I believe it's in these moments that God wants to really speak to us. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Charles Allen, he wrote a book called God's Psychiatry, where I'm getting a lot of these principles from. It's a great book. And he wrote this in his book, that poems, the greatest poems in the world, are not written on crowded streets. Lovely songs are not written in the middle of clamoring multitudes. Our visions of God come when we stop, when we listen, when we hit the pause button. Elijah found God, not in an earthquake or a fire, but a still small voice. Moses was seen the burning bush and had this a moment of revelation when he was quarantined on a hillside. Saul of Tarsus, in this lonely, quiet road to Damascus, was when he had this heavenly vision from God. Jesus, we see it over and over in his life. He would disappear. He would disappear to a mountain. He would go out and to a garden. He'd get on a boat and get out in the middle of the ocean in God's world, God's creation. And that's where God would speak. And so really growing up, and just most of my life in church, I was taught to sing for God. I was taught to work for God. I was taught to preach for God. I was taught to serve for God. And I think we all are okay with that. But when was the last time you were told to rest for God? That maybe the greatest thing that you can do in your spiritual life right now is to take this opportunity where God has hit the pause button and listen. And if you don't mind, that's what I want to pray over you and your family right now. I just want to remind you and leave you with this, that downtime is never wasted time. That God uses downtime to prepare us for what's next. God's not finished with you. You may have lost your job, but I can promise you God's got another one waiting on you. Your life and your schedule and everything may be hectic right now, and your whole world may be flipped upside down. But I can promise you this, that God has a plan for your life. God has a future for your life. Jeremiah 29, God reminds us, I know the plans I have for you. God sees where you are right now, and He sees what's next. And I believe He's led us all to this moment in history where we're pausing so that He can speak to us, so that He can be our shepherd, so that He can really pour into our lives what we need. And so if you would, let's pray together. Father, I just thank You so much for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for every person. I just pray right now for every household, God, every business, every person that's watching this. I just pray, God, Your protection over them. I pray a prayer of blessing over their families, Lord, over their businesses, over their communities. And Lord, we're just asking. We know that You've hit the pause button. And God, we don't see this as a forced shutdown. We see this as a forced Sabbath. God, You have hit the pause button in our world right now because You want to speak to us. And I pray even in this moment, God, just right now, that the people that you're listening to this in your home, in your living room, if you're listening in your car, if you're in the office, wherever you are, that God is speaking to you right now. That He's letting you know that you belong to Him. He's your Father. He loves you. That if He had a refrigerator, Your picture would be on it. And even in this moment now, I just pray that Your presence, God, would fill every place where this is being watched. Fill living rooms, God. Fill kitchens. Fill cars, Lord. Fill trucks. Fill automobiles, Lord. Fill, God, every place. Even in this moment right now, we just invite Your presence to come. Lord, let us get the rest and the renourishment and the replenishment that we need. And Lord, let us take advantage of this time. Let it be a reminder that You're with us and that when we're resting, You're working. When we're resting, God, You are on the scene and You are making up the gaps and You're filling in the places that we weren't able to do, God, that You are working when we're resting in You. And we just thank You so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for watching. It was awesome to be with you today. And right after this, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, if you've made a decision to put your faith in Christ, and if you just want more information on how to get connected, or if you need to be resourced, please just stay and we're going to give you some information on how you can get connected and how we can get more involved with you and make sure that you have everything that you need. We're praying for you. We love you. See you soon.
Thank you again for joining us online today. I want to encourage you to meditate on Psalms 23 every day this week. Allow God to shepherd you. Look to Him as He provides for you, protects you, and guides your every step. He is with you and He is for you. If you'd like to connect with one of our team members, text Plug Me In, one word, to the number 97000. We look forward to connecting with you. See you soon.